Moshe was holding the two bottom tvachim of the luchos. Hashem was holding the two top tvachim. There was two in the middle, and they were having a fight about it. Moshe wanted it. Hashem wanted it. Eventually, Moshe overwhelmed, overpowered. That's what the Gemara says. Hashem, and he grabbed the luchos and he broke them. And Hashem says, Yashav koch sheshabati, thank you very much that you broke them. Oh, shkach reboruch, thank you very much. Thank you. Now we need you as well. Fine. So that's what we saw. This unbelievable event that the Gemara describes, and we had five questions that we wanted to discuss. We said, remember, we're dealing with the sugya of Ishtei Kegufei. We said the sugya of Ishtei Kegufei, Klap Beklal Yisrael with the Kodesh Baruch Hu, is the sugya of Bechira, Bechira Chofshit. And we, in order to understand this Gemara, this event that took place between Moshe Rabbeinu and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he brought a mashal about a young, simple woman who was going to be a... just want to see where this is, just one second. Where is this? Oh, yeah, I'm involved. That he was going to, Moshe Rabbeinu was going to... this young queen was this young woman, simple woman, is marrying the king, and the king said to her, "When you marry me, you'll be on the same level as me. You'll have all the koyach of me. You'll have the same everything. We'll be shava b'shava 100%." Under the chuppah, she spat at him, grabbed the ring, and wouldn't give it back to him. So she was now makudosh, and then she broke the ring. Why she broke the ring, I don't know. We haven't seen yet. But she broke the ring. What was she doing? She was testing the king whether it was mama's genuine. Did you really mean that I'll have the same koyach as you? I'll be the same as you. I'll have the same koyach as you.
We can't hear you, Rabbi. We can't hear you anymore.
Now you can hear me?
Yes.
Thank you. For some reason I got muted. I'm sorry. Oi. Thanks for letting me know.
Go back to the place where she broke the ring and why the cake she did it.
Oh, so what I said was, when no one was listening, was the fact that, well, some people here were listening, was the fact that she wanted to prove whether Mamash, the king, was being genuine. Really? Am I really, really shava b'shava? Am I really equal? Do I really have the same koich as the king? Let's see. I'll do something off the charts like that, and let's see what the king's going to do. If the king takes me and throws me out of the house, so that he wasn't genuine. There's a law there. So the marshal is she was testing her status with the king. And as we're going to say, go on to say now, is this Klal Yisrael was testing kevi'ochol the status that had been promised by Kodesh Baruch Hu. Do I really have Bechira? Adam HaRishon also tested it incorrectly. No. He used it incorrectly. Avram Avinu, Adam HaRishon tested it. And obviously he used it incorrectly, but he tested his Bechira. And that's what Klal Yisrael were doing by the Chet HaEgel. Okay, so let's take these ideas forward. Let's try and tie them together. A lot of loose ends here still. a lot of questions haven't been answered yet. Let's go through this slowly. In order to understand what happened there with Moshe Rabbeinu and with Adam HaRishon and Moshe Rabbeinu, what Moshe Rabbeinu was doing by the Chet HaEgel with the Luchos, to understand what was going on there in the battle between Hashem and Moshe Rabbeinu for the Luchos, we need to understand a little bit about the Chet HaEgel. So that's where we got up to yesterday. We're on the bottom of Ein Vav. And he said, let's just nagdim first of all a little explanation about the Chet HaEgel, which came before the Shviras HaLuchos. Yeah, obviously there was the first Chet HaEgel, and then there was the Shviras HaLuchos as a result of the Chet HaEgel. Let's see what the connection is. Why break the Luchos because it was a Chet HaEgel? Exactly. What's the story here? So he says, Dafka like this, Dafka b'mamad ha-Sinai, ha-mamid klal Yisrael, b'mivchan, is goydol koichu shel ha-bechira chofshis. Dafka b'mamad ha-Sinai, klal Yisrael, that's when klal Yisrael did the unbelievable mivchan to see how big was their bechira. How much koich do I really have in my bechira? Hem rotzo lebchoyna im yesh be'efshurotam lishtachre lagamre me'akodesh baruch hu. If you have bechira, and it's a very deep yesodia, but if you have bechira chofshit, mamash bechira, then you're completely in that area where you have bechira, you mashuchra from Hashem completely. Completely mashuchra from Hashem. Why does it have to be that way? I'm just taking a bit of a sidestep here because it's very important yesodia in bechira to know this. HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world, creates the world, yesh mi'ayin, right? It means everything in the world is the Rotzon Hashem. There's nothing in the world that's not the Rotzon Hashem. Therefore, you can't be Meshuchra from Hashem because everything is Hashem. Correct? Yeah. Now, can you go against the Rotzon Hashem and still continue to exist? No, because you just said that everything is the Rotzon Hashem. There is nothing outside the Rotzon Hashem.
No, the Rotzon Hashem that you can go
against. One second. Slowly. Let's go to the steps here. We are not at Bechira yet. I'm saying slowly. Let's build the building properly, logically. The logic would demand that you could not go against the Rotzon Hashem and still be in reality and still be here, because everything is the Rotzon Hashem. The minute you do something connected to the Rotzon Hashem, you cease to exist. That should be the way the system's set up, and that's the way the system is set up. The chiddush is that in the middle of that system is a thing called Bechira Chofshi, which is totally miraculous. It's totally not understandable. That's why the entire world, except us, denies that there is such a thing. That you have Bechira. They believe in determinism and fate and all these sort of things. But we know that there's a thing called Bechira. There's a thing called Bechira. In the area where you have Bechira, you can go against the Rotzon Hashem and still exist. That means you can have an independent existence outside the Rotzon Hashem. That's impossible. Hanami, but that's what Bechira is. Bechira allows you. And the place where you have Bechira, not everything we do during the day is necessarily as a result of Bechira. But where your Nakuda Tabechira is, where you're having a Bechira moment, if you would go against the Rotzon Hashem in that Bechira moment, you continue to exist. There's nothing in the Bria that can do that. The Bria does the Rotzon Hashem all the time. It has to, because Hashem's willing that into existence. And without Hashem's Rotzon, that thing wouldn't exist. So if you could do something connected to the Rotzon Hashem, you should cease to exist, because you're not the Rotzon Hashem anymore. The Rotzon Hashem, if you're not the Rotzon Hashem, you can't exist. Bechira allows you to exist, even though you're not doing the Rotzon Hashem. That means you're Meshuchra, you're freed up, you're completely disconnected from Hashem at that moment. And that's what they were testing. Is that true? That's what Adam Rishon was testing. Adam Rishon wanted independence. Does Bechira give me genuine independence? Yes. You better use it carefully. Why would he test it? Because he didn't believe it. It was impossible to understand. But it doesn't make sense. We don't understand it either. We test it all the time, by the way. The Yetzer Hara is testing it all the time. He wanted to know, do I genuinely have that independent? Is it genuine? When Hashem told me you have Bechira, is that true? Because it flies in the face of all the logic. He wanted to test it. Why he wanted to test it on his level where he was up there, I don't know, I can't tell you. What was the answer? Can you meshachre yourself? Can you become totally independent from Hashem? Yes. That's not the goal, by the way. But you can. That's the side effect of Bechira. Hamayu musugolim lasis is egel azav. They could make the egel azav. You can make the egel azav. That's a logical thing. To this day, we don't understand how that happened. You just saw Hashem come down on a Sinai. Anoich Hashem alokecha, you heard Hashem speak, your neshama left your goof, you did chir samais, you came back, whatever. You saw it with yourself, not you heard about it from a book from 2,000 years ago. You saw it. You were there. And the next day, you're dancing on a gold calf saying, this is what took me out of Mitzrayim. It's impossible to understand such a thing. That's Bechira. That's Bechira. We'll see. That was Avraham Avinu understood what Bechira was as well. He used it in another way.
Bechira is a
Again? No, that's not why Hashem put Bechir in the world. Not that you should know. Hashem put Bechir in the world so that you can generally earn Olam Haba. It's not a Hasaga. In order for Hashem to fulfill the purpose of the Bria, which is to give you the ultimate good, which means it's got to be earned because we want to avoid bread of shame, remember? There has to be a thing called Bechira so that you can earn it. Now, is Bechira real or is this some kind of an act? It's some kind of a drama performance. You know, you don't really have Bechira, but Hashem lets you think you have Bechira so that you won't feel bread of shame when you get the reward. No, Bechira is real. You can use your Bechira even to manatek yourself to become quality Meshuchra from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's how far Bechira goes, Mitzad Ara. Mitzad Atov. We'll see what Avraham Avinu did. We haven't got there yet. Now we're discussing Adam and the Chet HaEgel. Your Bechira can even take you that far. That the day after you get the Torah on Asina, you dance around a little gold calf saying, that's my God. That's what the man with trying. Not that we understand that, but we're trying to understand the foundations of Bechira. Yeah.
You say Bechira really is never divorced from the son of Hashem because it's Hashem's son that you make a Bechira whatever you want.
Hashem's Rotson is that you use your Bechira correctly. U'bechata b'chaim, Hashem tells you. But at the same time, he leaves you open to not be b'chata b'chaim. That's Bechira. You have Bechira. You can go against the Ratzon Hashem. The Ratzon Hashem is that he wants you to do the Ratzon Hashem. But he says to you, you can go against the Ratzon Hashem as well. And that's not his Ratzon. His Ratzon is not that you should go against his Ratzon. How does what work? 1 second. Think about your question, Kevin. How does that work? What are you talking about?
When Hashem is allowing you to go against his Ratzon, but that's his Ratzon.
He's not allowing you to do anything. He gave you Bechira. You now choose. You now Meshuchra from Hashem. You're the boss. It's not the Rotzen Hashem that you should go against the Rotzen Hashem. It's the Rotzen Hashem that you should do the Rotzen Hashem. But he's telling you, you have free will. You have complete independence to make the decision which way you want to go. Rotzen Hashem, not Rotzen Hashem. Normally, without Bechira, if you would go against the Rotzen Hashem, you would cease to exist. It could happen if you had Bechira.
The only way you can know if you have Bechira is to go against the Rotzon Hashem.
No, that's not true. That's not true. We're not discussing how you know you have Bechira. You know you have Bechira. You don't have Bechira. That's another concept. That's another discussion. Right. And that's not true. You can know that you have Bechira without even getting out of bed in the morning. Knowing that you have Bechira is the subject of Das. I don't want to go into that now. I'm not talking about how you know you have Bechira, don't you have Bechira.
So what are we proving with the angle?
I haven't proven anything yet. I told you, I'm stepping off the page. We'll come back to the page. I just want to point out that the yesod, the deepest yesod of Bechira is the fact that you can become Meshuchra from Hashem. You're independent of Hashem in the place where you have Bechira. Hashem's not going to interfere there. If you're standing in the Makolet having a real ordeal whether to steal the tin of beans or not, yeah? That's your Nekudas HaBechira, right? Because in the Kudus of Bechira is that's how you grew. That's his Nesoid, yeah? He's standing there. Hashem says, you're on your own, brother. I'm not getting involved. You can take the beans and you can pay for them, and I'll be very, very happy because you're the Ratzon Hashem. And you can take the beans and put them in your coat and you can walk out without paying with them. I ain't getting involved. What's my Ratzon? That you pay for them. I don't want you to steal. I said, Lo Signov. But if you steal, you continue to exist and you carry on living and I will bear the burden of that moment. But you're free to do that, which without Bechira, without that unbelievable Chiddush of Bechira, the minute you would steal, you would cease to exist. You couldn't exist because you're doing something that's not the Ratzon Hashem. And everything is only Ratzon Hashem. There's nothing in the world that's not the Ratzon Hashem. If a cow would wake up one morning and decide that he's going to be a butterfly, he would cease to exist because that's not the Ratzon Hashem. The Ratzon Hashem is that he should be a cow. He can't decide not to be a cow. Said, we're not talking about his consciousness. I'm just using it as a marshal. Let's say he would wake up in the morning and decide, I don't want to be a cow anymore. And he goes off and he becomes a butterfly. He would cease to exist because that's not the Ratzon Hashem. Everything in the world is doing the Ratzon Hashem because everything is the Ratzon Hashem. So therefore, he can't change his mind to do something not the Ratzon Hashem. If he could, he wouldn't exist. He wouldn't be obviously that can't happen, but if it could happen, he would cease to exist. The chiddush that we have is that we can go against the Rotzon Hashem and still exist. That's beyond comprehension. There's no way to understand that. But you know you have Bechira. You know you're in an ordeal. You know you're making a decision. Not in everything, Od Pam. Not everything you do is Bechira. For sure, it's very limited. Once again, I don't want to get into all discussion of Bechira. This is not the discussion. For sure, Bechira is very limited. And what exactly is Bechira, and what's the definition of Bechira, and the whole of Rav Dessler and Rav Tetra, the whole safe on this. For sure, I'm not going into that now. That we can do a separate Vard, a separate Vard for the next 25 years, every day for 4 hours a day, and we still won't scratch the surface. Aval, I'm just pointing out one Nakudaya. Because he says it. Haim yesh be'ef shuloysom lihishtachre legamre mekodesh boch. Is it possible to become completely independent of Hashem? What kind of a question is that? So I'm pointing out that's the question. Do I really have Bechira, or is this Bechira just some kind of a hatzaga? I don't know yet. I just said something off the page just to expand what this lishtachre legamre me'akodesh baruch is. That's what Adam Arishon was doing. Do I really have Bechira? Can I really go and eat the Eitz Hadas Tovara and still continue to exist? That means I have Bechira. Now that I have Bechira, yeah, but he didn't realize the consequences of that moment of Bechira. Same as Klal Yisrael didn't understand the consequences of that moment of Bechira. But the answer was yes. Hayumusugolim lasus es egel azav on the top of Ein Zayin. Hakol golim v'delif neshem isparach. That's obvious. Hashem knows everything. Right? Shai lechoyre l'shema nosan akosh bochid v'de klal Yisrael l'secholit lichtoi b'chet ha'egel. So why did Hashem give Klal Yisrael the ability to do the chet ha'egel? That's terrible. It's going to be a mess. Let's just not do the chet ha'egel and go into Eretz Yisrael. The Mashiach will come and the gun's good, you know? What comes out of this? Hamavteach lahavonis inyan ze tomen bedvorim deliil. The key to understanding this whole sugi is hidden in what we said above. Chayv lavozman shebo akala tochiach kiritzoin el nisnase lo bo bekfir elemitoich rotzen gomo. There has to be at some point the kala, Klal Yisrael, comes to prove that she really wants to be married without any compulsion, without any force. Even if the force is positive force, this chosin is just so wow that you can't say no. You know, it's just like he's doing everything for you, he's giving and miracles, and you can't say no. You're just, Hashem is just, how can you say no? That's also kfir. Rotzen gomel, that's what Hashem wants from us. Can you prove your loyalty and your commitment to HaKadosh Baruch Hu without any interference, just because you made a Bechira decision to do that? Hashem gave them the opportunity to do that straight off the Ma'amad HaSinai. Can imagine the unbelievable love and yearning and aspirations for HaKadosh Baruch Hu after HaSinai. And we have no, we can't be massive what that looks like. The chosin came and he blew them away, literally. He, in all his glory and all his beauty, he revealed to them. They had a Rebbe, they had a Rosh Yeshiva teacher who was Moshe Rabbeinu, who saw everything clearly. He was Ne'eman Bebeisi, Hashem says, in all, you know how Moshe Rabbeinu was. Moshe goes up the mountain and he's a bit delayed. He told him 40 days and now they're, because they made a miscalculation, whatever, he's running a bit late. So obviously they weren't Israelis yet, because if somebody's late, you don't get worried, you don't get upset, you just understand. He's not really late. He didn't really mean 40 days. He meant 43 days. Calm down. It's not serious. The chuppah doesn't have to be for another 2 hours. But obviously they hadn't gone to Israel yet. So 40 was 40, you know. So it's a yekirim kazeh.
Venitna Rushus Lusotan Lamidam Benesioin Mava Kashe.
the Sotan was given Rishus to give them a terribly bitter Nisoyin. Show them Moshe Rabbeinu's Leviah taking place in Shemayim. You know, Shiduchai. Yeah, Shiduchai, the Leviah, only 10 people, whatever. I don't know exactly know what that Leviah looked like, what they showed him. Aval Moshe Rabbeinu's Leviah is taking place.
Okay, I
just want to point out here a little bit, before we discuss, what exactly were they freaking out about? So Moshe died. Okay, Beseda. Okay, that's terrible. That's tragic. But you know, Aaron's still here. You know, Yeshua's here. It's not like the Moitzi Gedolei Torah isn't still here. Whatever. You know, for sure, Moshe was no one like Moshe. Lord, come, Novi, come Moshe. Fine, they said. But what's the? So I heard once the Vortis like this. They knew that if there was no Torah in the world would go back to 12 Abol. Correct. If there's no Torah, then Hashem says it takes the 12 Abol. They knew that they tried to get Torah from Hashem and it didn't work. Hashem said the first Dibu, they all died. Chias HaMaisim, you ready for the second one? Yeah, okay, off you go, guys. Second one, boom, they died again. They said, well, that's it. Not going through that twice, that three times. That twice is enough. Dying and being resurrected is not for the lighthearted. That's serious stuff. So they said, Moshe, you go deal with it. You go get the Torah. Because we can't. We know we can't. We tried. It's not like a theory. Yeah, now suddenly Moshe's died. So how are we going to get the Torah? And if we don't get Torah, the world's going to go back to 12 Abol. And the Sotan that brings down in the Midrash showed them that the world was crumbling. The world was falling apart. That's what they saw. They went outside and they saw the world unraveling. They went to the woman and the woman said, what are you talking about? The world looks fine to me. Everything looks fine to us. They had their own fears made them see things that weren't happening. They were panicking. They don't know what they're going to do. They have to get some way of getting the Torah into the world, which they can't do themselves. They need an intermediary. Slowly, just stay focused here. So that's what the Sotan showed them. He showed them the world unraveling. The made of the world unraveling, we need somebody to replace Moshe Rabbeinu fast. And why they didn't think of Aaron was because Aaron couldn't do it at Har Sinai, and nobody else could either. It was only Moshe. Only Moshe could go get the Torah. Why didn't Aaron go get the Torah? Because he also died. He didn't die. Some of them all died. So they needed something that wasn't going to die when Hashem gave them the Torah. So they made that was the Erev Rav, also as Egel Azav. Hashem Amidam bin Yisoyin, Kan Nitne Izdamnut Lakala Lagalot Kihi Chafitze Bekesha Nisoyin. V'yema? Yeah, Klal Yisrael had an opportunity to show that a Kodesh Baruch Hu, Loman Yenoti. You can take Moshe Rabbeinu, you can do this, you can do that. Lechpati, I committed myself to you, and I'm with you, and I'm staying with you, and I'm not going anywhere. I'm not going anywhere. You'll tell me the world's unraveling and there's Tov, Abol, whatever. You know, Chinami, but I'm not responsible for the world. I'm responsible to keep Shulchan Aruch. That was the test. Are you going to do what you're supposed to do, or are you going to try and save the world by not keeping the Torah? Yeah, people have tried to do that for many generations. You save the Torah by not keeping Torah. No, that's not my business. That's not my business. My business is to keep what I have to keep. If the world unravels, the world unravels. It's Hashem's problem, not my problem. I have to stay loyal to my Nasa Vinishma. And they didn't. She has an opportunity to prove that no matter how dark the world is, no matter how much chaos, the world's unraveling, we're going back to Tov HaBol, everything's I stay loyal to the Chosen. I'm waiting for the Chosen. Not all of Klal Yisrael, you see, it was only 3,000 people that got killed because of the Chet HaEgel. But all of Klal Yisrael was responsible. That's another discussion why that is like that. Amna Midach Gisen is Galakan b'meloi atzmusa koyach habechira hachovshit shenitin b'yar Adam. Nachinami, there was the Chet HaEgel and all the ramifications and whatever that we know about and we deal with. But there's something else that came out of here which was very, very amazing, and that is what was being megale here was the koich of bechira. Nizgala amisol shimei ma'amid bechashivus b'mitek rotzon oz b'darke yoichel agiel lepiske shoilam lo shiarim. Mitzad sheni, you saw what happened with the Chet HaEgel, yeah? That's the koich of bechira. No, mitzad sheni, if you use your bechira properly, You can get to unbelievable levels. Lehefach of what you saw with the Chet Egel. Kan noit shoshil shel ha-mavik ben Moshe Rabbeinu l'Kodesh Baruch Hu. Here lies the roots of the machlokes between Avraham Avinu and the Kodesh Baruch Hu. Moshe Rabbeinu gilu ki Hashem Yisbarach magale kan reibet omuk bepnime atoma bekesh anesuin shel ani amoy. HaKodesh Baruch Hu revealed that the Chet Egel, unbelievable depths to the relationship, the inner deep hidden relationship of nisuin, of marriage that exists between him and Klal Yisrael. HaKodesh Baruch Hu magale kan es koyach ha-bechira chofshis. And HaKodesh Baruch Hu is magale the koyach ha-bechira chofshis. V'nois nekalalaisis keretzoyne. You can do whatever you want. You like me. V'telem elokim, you're bechira to build worlds and bechira to destroy worlds, the same as I have, Hashem says. You have the same koyach as me. You're shutif ha-maisa breishis now. You like me. You're chelek elokam imal in this aspect of bechira, which is awesome. Klal Yisrael has the opportunity here to show through their own bechira, not because there's any compulsion, not because there's any force, not because there's any onus, but purely out of my own free will, me, my individual free will, to dredge out from myself, to do and to mochiach to Kosh Baruch Hu, I'm with you no matter what. That's the utilization of Bechira L'Toiv. And you're in the middle of a struggle. You're being pulled from both sides equally. And at the moment of Bechira, there's nothing that interferes. You're completely independent at that moment. It's earth-shattering news, that moment. That independent, creative moment when a person makes a Bechira. Now that's what was Magalat, the Chet Ha'egel. That's what Moshe Rabbeinu saw, and that's what he understood. And we'll see how that has to do with him breaking the luchos and Hashem Shem Yashar Koyach, and what that has to do with us today. But you'll see that mavak, that battle, that struggle that took place between Moshe Rabbeinu and HaKadosh Baruch Hu over the luchos, carries on today for every individual Jew. We're all in the same battle, and we need to understand it. Mitzvah Hashem, tomorrow we'll pick that up and we'll see that. But that's the sugya of Bechira, the yusod of Bechira. That was Megale at Hasina at the Chet Ha'egel, at Kadei, that the Bechira of a Jew can even shatter the Luchos. The Luchos was Maisa Hashem. Yeah, but he's got Bechira, can destroy the Maisa Hashem as well. That's what a Yid is. That's the Koyach of Bechira. It's atomic. It's unbelievable. Okay, so fine. Mitz Hashem, tomorrow we'll see what this Yerushalmi, the fight between Moshe Rabbeinu and the Luchos, what that has to do with us, because it's very relevant to us today. Okay.
Ralph, can I ask you a question?
For sure.
So, when Bnei Yisrael sinned with the Egel HaZahav, what seems to be the heir of Rav said, Ela Elokecha Yisrael. They were addressing them as Yisrael, and the reason why is because they weren't. They were the heir of Rav. But as you said before, Hashem's given two paths. There's Chaim and Moves. Yeah, so there are two valid paths. They're both valid. But what Hashem is telling you, that his rotzon is that you should choose the path of Chaim. But a few minutes ago, you mentioned as well that Hashem tried to give the first two of the 10 Aseres Dibros, and they lost the neshamas. So they just felt like they needed an intermediary between them and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Yeah, and it was Moshe for most of the time. And they said, Moshe, you give it to us. And we also see in the future as well, when Shmuel had to come to, and the people were crying out for a king, and Shmuel said, you want a king? Hashem will give you a king. And he gives them Shaul HaMelech. But really, he was upset with them because they should have said, we want Hashem to be our king. But we've seen it's like from the very beginning to the end, Am Yisrael has always felt as a nation that we need an intermediary between us and Hashem. So is it so much, is it only a matter of Bechira? Or is it that we feel that we're not worthy, or we just can't have a direct relationship between us and Hashem because we're not on a high enough level? We've always needed an intermediary between us. And the Egel HaZahav, some of Farshim say, they had honorable intentions. They just felt like they needed to have an intermediary because there always had been and always was going to be an intermediary between us and Hashem. So is there that aspect to it, or is it purely a matter of Bechira? That's my question.
I'm not sure what Bechira has to do with this. Do we need an intermediary or not? That's got nothing to do with Bechira. The reason why we needed an intermediary at Asinai and the reason for Klal Yisrael Bashol HaMelech are two very different stories. What happened at Asinai is when the Neshamas saw HaKadosh Baruch Hu, they were so magnetically drawn to Hashem that the Neshama flew towards Hashem. And as a result, the Guf, you know, with jet propulsion, went back 40 passes. The neshama was so, you know, when Hashem came down, the neshama saw where it belonged. That's its source. Remember, the neshama is part of Hashem, and the neshama just flew towards Hashem. So they just said, we can't do this. Every time we see Hashem, the neshama is going to fly towards Hashem. Moshe Rabbeinu was the only one who could see Hashem, and the neshama still stayed in his guf. Yeah, so that's why they said, Moshe Rabbeinu, you're the only one that can do this. You're the only one that has this ability. So please go get the Torah. Yeah. That's number one. Bashol HaMelech, by the Bakasha to Shmuel, the Mefoshim bring down that the problem wasn't that they wanted a king. You have a chiv to make a king. The Rambam brings down Hilchos Melachim. Klal Yisrael is a mitzvah deraisa to appoint a king. So what did they do wrong? If you look at the Loshon that says we want a king like the Goyim. Just because all the nations have got a king, we also want a king. That was the tochocha there. A king's not necessarily an intermediary. A king has many other functions. Love the government to be an intermediary. A Jew needs to know he doesn't need anybody. He doesn't need intermediary. A Jew directly speaks to his Tati, he speaks to Hashem. That's the work of every Yid. There's not Christianity. You can deal with and you can relate to, and you have to deal with and relate with Hashem yourself. That's why we daven. You're talking directly to Hashem. We need Gedol Yisrael. We need Moira Haror. We need professional. We need learned people in order to tell us what the halacha is, because we don't always know. We don't always know what the Rotz and Hashem is, but when you know what the Rotz and Hashem is, you don't need anybody. You just got to do the Rotz and Hashem. We don't need intermediaries. Hashem wants us to be directly related to Him. We have a problem today. We don't have Nevuah. So to connect directly to Hashem today requires other modalities. We don't have Nevuah, which is the direct connection. We're not in a world of Nevuah. We're in a world of Chochmah. So today, that direct connection comes through Torah. It comes through learning Torah, Pasuk, Halacha, Gemara, whatever it is, whatever Torah means, that's Saint Tehillim, whatever, that's Torah. That's how we connect directly to Hashem. We don't need intermediaries. The Gedol Yisrael are not intermediaries for us and Hashem. The Gedol Yisrael are there to lead us because they know more what the Rotz and Hashem is. They know Torah. Their godless is not anything else other than their knowledge of Torah. I don't know what bracha to make on an apple, so I ask the Rav, and the Rav tells me it's Borei Priya Eitz. He's not an intermediary. He's helping me to do the Rotz and Hashem, because I just didn't know what the Rotz and Hashem in this situation was. But we're not utilizing them as intermediaries. There's a big Yetzer Hara to can use them as intermediaries, and that's a very dangerous thing. Ma'od ma'od masukan, and that's a big discussion. I'm not going to go into that now. But when you start using the Rebbe to do the work for you because you're too lazy to do it yourself, that's a problem. Well, I don't really know how to daven, so you'll daven for me, you know? No. That's got to be worked out. But Klal Yisrael by Moshe Rabbeinu, there was Nevuah. There was a different world where the Nevi'im were somehow the conduit, the connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So that has to be understood. Nevuah needs to be understood and how that fits into this whole picture. But that's a nice question. Excellent. Okay, I've got to run. I'm sorry. I have another shoe starting. We can pick this up tomorrow if you remind me.